Atlas is at a point where he refuses to justify his humanity. Hi, welcome to Actual Play, the podcast. This is Stars Without Number, episode 5, part 1, with Dominique, Tomer, Madjay, and myself. This episode we picked up right where we left off last time, just after Atlas and the rest of us sort of met Dr. Long late at night, pressed him for answers, and when he held back, Atlas lost his temper and socked him. But that sort of opened up the conversation in a way, as Dr. Long saw how much this meant and what we would do, and talked about where he was. Breaking right in the middle of the conversation, I think, was a really good thing, because what it allowed us to do, and what we talk about in the very beginning, is it allowed us to it reminded us to hold on lightly to the world as we know it. We envision this game as our characters being the agents of fear, but we realized through course of play that might not actually be what we believe in. We might be the fugitives of fear. We might be the ex-agents. We might be the destroyers. Who knows? But it's just because a campaign begins with a certain premise doesn't mean that it has to be held on to. It doesn't mean that through a conversation at the table, you can't expand that. So we talked about this at the beginning, and I just really enjoy that the group and the system and the game we're playing doesn't, isn't fixated on what was true remaining true. I think things can change. So we open up. This first half is really just our conversation with Dr. Long, figuring out what he's all about, which is humans, specifically humanity, not any other species or sentience, forms of sentience, and where we lie with that. So enjoy as we go to the point of no return with information from Dr. Long. Hello. Welcome to Actual Play. Stars That Number, episode 5, the crew of Squidly, the agents of fear. We're all here to find out what happens in this black hole of a game. I'm Sean Nittner. I use he, him pronouns. I will be playing Hope. I'm super excited for Hope to find out more about what's going on with Dr. Long, because it and agents of fear, because it affects her reason for being with the team and for being part of it. So I'm super stoked on that. I just love playing with all of you. So that's rad. Channel news, not really news. All our proceeds go to the Trans Legal Defense Fund and Black Lives Matter. So if you give us cheer, give us subs, that's where that'll go. We appreciate anything you can contribute. And finally, I just want to say mad props to Madjay for putting on Games on Demand online, making that thing happen. We ran a game here on this very channel.
That was awesome. I watched that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was good having you in chat. Lots and lots of games happened. Lots of people got to play. It was phenomenal. So good. I just want to say congrats to you. How about you, Dominique? What's going on with you?
Dominique Dickey, I use they, them pronouns, and I got to punch Dr. Long last episode, and I'm excited to deal with the ramifications of having done that. I anticipate that I will be feeling some guilt, maybe, and that I punched him to get some information from him. He coughed up a bit. There's still so much that we don't know. I have a lot of questions for him, and I feel like this confrontation needs to go further. Yeah, that's what I'm excited about. How about you, Tomes?
Tomes here, he, him. I'm playing Dartha, our neighborhood blob. And I think there was like two things from last session. One, I remember there was a moment where, she's kind of questioning Dr. Long, but Dr. Long kind of shoots back, right? And he's like, talking about all the things that can't be trusted about Dartha, right? And like how, the blobs have said their homeworld is over here, but that's not really the case. I mean, so Dr. Long knows stuff, right?
Yeah.
And
guns blazing, yeah.
Yeah, so that's part of it. But the other part is that I feel like Dartha knows, yeah, I'm surrounded by the right people. Like we see, you know, we see Hope going and just giving this heartfelt moral speech, right? About like, hey, I'm here to do the right thing. Are you here to facilitate that, right? And then also we've got Atlas there and he like just punches him, but like, I feel the overwhelming guilt coming off of that. That is like, I know that this is someone pushed to their limit, right? And like, that's not the way he normally goes. So like, I feel like I'm in a very confident place despite the fact that we're on our back foot and who knows what's gonna happen next. So that's me, Mad Jay.
I'm Mad Jay. I love this game. I have no idea where we're going. I love the journey so far. I love playing with these fantastic people. I don't know. We're going to play to find out. I don't. I feel bad for Dr. Long. I feel like, you know, everyone's got him up against the wall. So I want to see what kind of, where do we go from here, right? Do you guys leave fear or can we work something out, right? I'm curious.
Yeah, I think that's a real good question. And I think that's also really like, I think that's a really important thing to consider, not only for our game, but for Stars That Number and just gaming in general, is that like, what you say you're all about at the beginning, like, we're like, we're the agents of fear. Cool. Until we're not, right? Like, this game doesn't end if we say, piss off, we're going to do something else. We're going to go,
right.
You know, we're going to go work for Irdos or Jan or become freelance mercenaries or whatever, you know, like it's, or we're just going to go find our own way on a ship with like a huge bounty on our head and like, it's like, it won't remove the story at all. So I think it's important to know that like, I don't know, holding on lightly, I think is a real important thing to remember in gaming. Like, things that you think are permanent fixtures of the game don't have to be. Characters can die, you can be replaced, you can, you know, you can break away from your original assumptions. So I'm excited to have that playing ground open.
I was gonna say you could be the ex-agents of fear.
Yeah. Yeah. We could be the fugitives of fear.
That's right, the fugitives of fear.
So
I have options, but I think you guys have the floor. So where do you want to start? We could pick up right where we left off in the conversation with Dr. Long. We can move forward in time. Where do you want to, where's a good starting point? What are you thinking about? What's the plan?
I have a very small idea for like a tiny flashbacky thing, but part of the reason it came up is because we were doing some of the leveling up stuff in between sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like, maybe this explains a little bit of why I suddenly see this skill here, you know, even though I hadn't maybe planned for it before or whatever. So it like feeds a little bit of that story, and I don't know if it helps figure out what we want to do next either. What about you guys?
I'm kind of invested in finishing the conversation that we're currently having just because I have more questions. And I feel so bad that I punched him. Even though I did really enjoy doing it, like out of character, in character, I feel like I feel bad about it.
I think you living with that discomfort is great. And I think seeing Atlas, you know, react within it, you know, in that, you know, and Atlas being confident and you being like, I'm not sure, is fantastic. But I would love to do a flashback if you have one in mind, Tomes, and then cut back to that scene, because I do feel like we got Dr. Long at the point, like he still really wasn't willing to tell us what the faction was up to. Like he was saying, like, you don't know what's going on, there's bad shit out there, there's all these you know, dangers you don't know about, we can't just sit idly by, there needs to be a sheriff in town, and I'm that sheriff. But like, we're like, okay, so what are you doing? Like, what's the plan, sheriff? And I think my offer was like, if you want us as deputies, we need to know what's going on. And so I do want to come back to it, but I'd love to start open up with a flashback.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah. My
sure. And I think this flashback is actually very much about that scene. So like, I think we saw that last episode end and, you know, Dr. Long's explaining, there's a punch in the face. There's, you know, some kind of back and forth.
Chair, right? Like he fell back into his chair from the punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but we talked to him for a moment after that. And there's definitely this moment where we're all trying to connect. And I remember I put out my pseudopod on his hand and then on your hand, Hope, and on Atlas's hand, or fist, if it was still that way. And of course, Tim, I'm not
going to forget. Yeah, don't forget Timothy. Yeah.
But the flashback is really like, it's this moment where I am, this is after the academy and all that. And I'm working for Dr. Long now, right? Sometime in the past. And I already have the voice that sounds like Amanda Wolf. So I have like kind of my more modern sounding, you know, human-y voice. And I'm talking to Dr. Long and he's actually asking me about the coordinates. He's like talking about the blob homeworld and how he found an anomaly and mate, that doesn't really make sense. And what are your thoughts on that? I mean, you're from, you know, like that kind of thing, right? Those are your people. Right. And I kind of say some stuff and I'm looking at him and I can hear in my head the doubt that's coming off of him, right?
Nice.
Like he's not saying any words, but he's basically saying like, I don't believe you. And it's almost as obvious as he said it out loud. And the funny thing is us as humans, like watching the TV show or something like that, we're like, oh, it still wasn't obvious. Like Dr. Long was not looking like he didn't believe it, you know, but for me, it was obvious. And I think it's kind of a hint of some of this telepathic ability. And we see the scene, that last scene played out with the punch and this and all the accusations flying back and forth. And I'm not just sitting there listening. I mean, I'm like super injured, in a, right?
One hit point level, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Death's door. But like, I'm also being assaulted by emotions that are coming off of you guys. So like, I'm being very susceptible right now to this kind of like feeling what you guys are feeling, right? And I think that's why I know that Atlas regrets kind of the punch as much as he wanted to do it and, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm not reading anybody's mind so much. It's just like this emotional wave that's coming off of everybody, including Dr. Long. And then scene.
Nice.
I don't know what Dr. Long feels, but Dorothy's getting
me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have set it up a little bit to go in that direction.
So I think we're still in Dr. Long's office. It's still like early morning, right? Because this was late night, early past midnight. So it's late.
Yeah, I think he like he was talking to us in his pajamas.
Right, you know? Right. I think he's still in his. Like... Yeah, I think he's got like the corner of his shirt. I think it's kind of flapped, maybe buttoned up, but he's got it unbuttoned a little bit, and he's kind of. Dabbing his nose, right? And his lips kind of swelling up, right? And he rolls over to his desk looking for something to stop the bleeding, attend to his swollen lip and that kind of thing. He doesn't make a big deal about it. He's just trying to, you know, take care of that. I think he sits with the quiet for a little bit and he looks everybody over, right? And then he says, so what's next? I mean, you're asking a lot from me, right?
Yeah, you're asking a lot from us. We're going on these missions for you, not knowing what our purpose is, what your goal is.
It seems like all we're asking for is clarity. Doesn't seem like it's too much to ask for.
And I mean, both of my compatriots are like, hey, are we playing? Like what's going, you know, like back and forth. And I just start giving out information about the homeworld of the Lithomorphs.
Right.
Like just actual factual information, right?
Right.
Coordinates and stuff.
Nice.
Nice. That is
like
nice.
Pull it up on some holographic display or something like that. So it's like
nice. I think he says, so look, I'll be blunt with you, and it's gonna hurt a little bit, right? But I think for humans, it's worth it. It's what I'm trying to do. And I hate to put it that way, but that's what's at stake, is how we humans go forward. There's still an AI.
Incredibly vague.
Go ahead.
You're still being incredibly vague.
Oh, I'm about to get real specific. Because
let's put it this way. It's very clear to us that somebody like Raven, who is not with us, right? Raven did not.
Right. No, she's not.
Right. Somebody like, and I don't think this is necessarily telling him Raven spilled the beans, but it is alluding that, like, you know, we know that somebody like Raven, for instance, is privy to a lot more information. Now, understanding she probably earned your trust over many years, and we're asking you to make a leap of faith right now, but we're saying we're not going any further unless you start telling us the truth. And then, you know, we have to deal with that. Maybe you're going to tell us things we don't want to hear, but we can't keep mining this black hole and taking pre-tech knowledge off of it and delivering it to you if we don't know what you're going to do with it.
I'd say that's fair, but we know there are other agents out there also mining it. And you going out there potentially gets some dangerous things off of the black market, other people's hands, places it shouldn't be. I understand where you are. I understand what you're saying. Raven spent a lot of time with me out in the field. That's how she's earned my trust. But you three, right? I've got a lithomorph that lies to me about where she's from. You got a big, big, big bill on your head, right? There are bounty hunters on the station right now, right? Looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Atlas, I don't know if you can help us or if, you know, you're going to turn against us somewhere down the road. Because one of you have. One of you has. So I've got, you know, what am I supposed to do?
I'm just pointing at the 3D hologram star map.
Right.
That's showing where my homeworld is.
Like another 10, another...
05.
He says, I'm willing to take steps forward, open up, develop trust as we move along. I'm willing to tell you, if we don't do anything, the districts of Yon and Irdos will tear the planet, this system, apart. And they will use whatever technology they can get out of the vault to rule. They want each of them want to rule Anas Tull and eradicate the other, right? That's where they are.
I know, I understand the stakes at play. What I don't know is whether or not your goal is any more laudable than theirs. I'm not saying Yon or Erdos have the right of it. I'm saying from everything we've been able to see, these attacks that have been happening that haven't been caused by either one of them, freelance agents that are on Hades Kennel 3, the fact that you have disassembled Atlas's brother and never told us about it, I don't know that your goals are any more noble. I'm not looking for perfection. I don't think any of us are expecting a bloodless encounter, but I kind of like gesture slightly at his, you know, bloody lip, right?
Right.
But how do we know that you're not just going to offer up that your solution isn't just to offer up something even worse?
Can I do something?
Sure.
I would like to do a telepathy.
Do a telepathy.
Yes.
Okay.
Just got that ability, burning a hole in my pocket.
Oh yeah. So I want to communicate almost secretly, I guess, with Dr. Long.
Okay.
Right? So I've got telepathy at a level 1.
All right.
For those in the game reading space. And it says that I can kind of understand any form of communication made by the target. And if you speak the target's language, so that's just in general, but if you speak the target's language, they can communicate with it in turn. So, you know, kind of like a light communication, I guess, right?
Right.
Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm.
I know, Sean, if you're looking at it as well.
Yep, I got it pulled up. This is just the basic telepathic contact, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I don't know, I don't think it's explained whether or not I've ever done this with anyone, and whether or not I've done it with Dr. Long before. And I actually do, I don't know the answer, me as Tomes, but I kind of feel like it feels like this is new.
Okay.
And I reach out to Dr. Long and say, you know, privately, if you can trust me, and I don't, you know, he's already expressed some possible mistrust, but if you can trust me, you can trust them. And I'm, you know, that channel's open. So right, he can speak to me privately if he wants to, but that's all I wanted to communicate.
Okay.
But I wanted to do it in that channel. I didn't want to just say it out loud.
Gotcha. Nice. That is nice. So what do we want from Dr. Long?
I think the meta level thing or the high level thing is like, what's the goal of fear, right? And maybe maybe we can't get that. Maybe we just get what his short term goals are, or what, like, maybe because he's not the top of fear. So maybe we don't get everything, but like just a better sense of like hope came to fear saying, hey, I just found out about this vault. And if you give me the means, I'll help you. If you give me the means, I'll help you get the stuff and keep it away from Eerdos and Yon. And that was a naive thing to do, because of course they're gonna be like, cool, we'll help you get that stuff that we're gonna keep from those people, right? She didn't really think it through. So now it's that moment of truth for her, at least. And I don't wanna speak necessarily for the group, but like, tell me what you do plan on doing with this nanotech weapons. Tell me what you do, like, are you gonna become the controlling power of Anastol? Are you going, you know, what's the end game for the orbital platform, I guess? That's, you know, I think we've been, Hope's been saying that more a lot, you know. I think that's our hopes for that. But Dominique and Tomer, what are you feeling like is your hopes for the combo?
I feel like I've just been like tagging along with you guys because you're like my new friends, but mostly I'm trying to piece together like what I was made for, because I don't remember a lot of that. And I think that Dr. Long has like meaningful leads, especially because he's interacted with like one of my siblings and like dismantled one of my siblings. So I feel like aside from the immediate impulse towards revenge, because like I had a sibling that you murdered, to the extent that you can murder an AI, I want to know what he knows about me that I don't know about myself.
Can I ask a question of you, Dominique?
Yeah, totally.
Do you think that, and Jay, let me know if this is cool, but like, do you think that there's something that happened, or the fact that Dr. Long is talking about this sibling that you kind of don't remember, but would that trigger any kind of memory, even if that memory is like very vague or kind of non-complete or something like that?
I think that would require some like world building around the scream and like what happened, like what exactly does it happen to me, and to what extent like my like AI parts were damaged. I've been playing it as no, because I feel like that's like easier as a player to like play to find out rather than to like be like, oh, and here's what I do know. But I'm sort of open to being like, oh, maybe I did know that.
I just know there's me as the audience member who's like, I want to know more about what's going on.
I want to know more, yes.
All I know is that I was on the vault, and then the scream happened, and then I woke up several centuries later. And
later, yes.
Confusing.
I think we're looking at a talk test. Everyone is at Dr. Long, right? So I think anybody can make that check and then mm-hmm. and get help from the rest, right? This is going to let us know how much Dr. Long reveals and lets loose.
I have a talk of one. What about y'all?
Mm-hmm. I got a talk of negative one, I think. I do not talk trained. Let me double check on that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So what if Dartha does it, then I help?
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I think that within the narrative, like, I think there's a little bit of hope kind of fading back a little bit. Like, I think she looks out like the window to Anastol below and has a little bit of that, like, emperor saying, you know, look, your friends are going to die before you. When he's like, there's bounty hunters after you. I think she kind of like, it affects her a little bit. You know, she sort of said her piece. Like, she's like said what she wants. So I kind of imagine she like fades back a little bit and is like looking out the windows to see if she can see the bounty hunter ship, you know.
Right.
Flying around. I'm sure it's not there, but you know, just in case.
Hope is like, this is how I die.
This is how I die.
So yeah. If you want to do that.
Roll first.
What's the difficulty here?
I should have asked before I rolled.
So it will be a difficulty of 10.
Ah, I hit it.
Nice.
Hey, yes. And I forgot to ask before I rolled too.
Nice.
And then I guess I roll, right?
You roll with plus one.
And I'm rolling talk with intelligence or wisdom or something?
I roll with charisma.
With charisma? Okay.
Yeah, I will take charisma or intelligence.
Wow, I could have rolled even higher then. I have plus zero in charisma.
Yeah, I'll take either one of those because you're either making... Nice. Yeah, I think either one of those work, right? Because you're either making some logical arguments, right? Or you're making a plea, right?
Making a, not so much a logical argument, but a heartfelt, wise argument.
How about a wisdom-y kind of a wise argument?
Nice. Because you have telepathy, I will allow that. I'm good with that.
Okay. I can play the metagame.
We will assume there's some amount of transference with your telepathy when you reach out to Dr. Long that's giving you some insight.
Nice.
Okay. Oops, I didn't do it at a plus one, but that doesn't seem to matter. I rolled pretty low.
Oh, yeah. All right.
That came out as like a 4. Do you guys see that?
Yeah, it came out as a 4. So technically that would be a 5.
Yeah.
Snake eyes. Now you do, it's worth noting that you have the diplomat ability, which you know how to get your way in personal negotiations and can manipulate the attitudes that are around you. Even so, let's see. You get to reroll any ones on skill checks related to negotiations or diplomacy. You roll 2 ones.
Perfect.
But boom, you get to re-roll that entire roll because you have the diplomat focus.
Yes.
And remember that plus one this time.
That is
awesome. Yeah. Sometimes you're just playing the game. I love this game.
I mean, it's supposed to do a thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
And who would have thought you would have gotten snake eyes and on this roll, but
there it is.
I am temporarily delayed because my mouse decided to stop working. So let me see if I can get it moving again.
Fine. Let us know if you want one of us to roll for you. Like, I generally do not like to roll on someone's behalf, but if your mouse is...
I'm okay with it. I'm gonna have one of you guys roll for me. So it's the plus one from wisdom, plus one from helping, and then whatever, and then the skill is at plus one.
Right. There it is.
Whoa! Oh. Look at that. Nice. Nice.
Wow.
All right.
So that's about, oh my goodness, that was boxcars. Well, so that's the range of your rolls right there.
Yes, that is it. From the bottom to the top.
Nice. Well, okay. That diplomat skill was worth it then, I guess.
So yeah, exactly. Diplomat.
That's okay.
And I think some of that is, so I think Dr. Long likes the way the three of you have been working together as a team. You've been out to the vault a couple of times and back, and you've come back with information, actionable stuff, useful stuff. So he's not denying that you work good together, right? I think he also knows things are changing on Anas Tull, and him and Raven and his team of high-tech secret operatives is not enough, right? And so I think he gets up, he says, okay, all right. But there's no turning back, right? Here's everything. And I'm not a dictator. I'm not looking to take over NS Tull, right? There's no real solution here, right? Iridos trains pre-cog pilots. They're the only folks that do that. NS Tull needs those pilots to mine, right? For industry, they need that. Jan trains precog miners, right, to mine the materials. I think both sides have forgotten they need each other, right? Otherwise, there's no NS Tull. I think they're tied into fighting each other so much that they're willing to grab whatever out of the vault. They don't realize there are other systems beyond here, right? Once they find out that there's a pre-tech vault here, and we're pulling things out of it, some of them may take that as a form of aggression, right? And now we've got that problem. I don't want that to leave this system. I don't want anyone else to know that there's a pre-tech vault sitting out there, or that it's got weapons on it that we don't even know what they do. My intent is to pull the teeth out of both Jan and Iridos and the vault, and make them all inert at however I can do that, however I can make that happen. I didn't murder the other AI. I don't think you can murder an AI as much as you can murder, I don't know, a computer or a starship. It was brought to me in disrepair, and I paid for it, and I've been studying it. We've got problems with AIs, and it is something I've never seen before. The AI that brought it to me, I've never seen anything like her before, and you also are unique. And until I'm sure that you're no danger, she's no danger to humanity, I'm gonna be worried, right? I don't know. We don't make AIs like you anymore. What side are you on? And how do you know?
I'm on the side of my new friends because I don't know any alternative. I'm working with Dartha and I'm working with Hope because they've been looking out for me. And I mean, if you treat them fairly and justly, then I guess that means I'm looking out for you too. If you want me on your side, then square up.
And then what happens when you meet Horatio Long?
When I meet who?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
When I meet who?
Horatio Long? So that's...
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I ask him what he knows. I take the knowledge into consideration. Our agreement... I don't anticipate our agreement changing.
What if he has some control over you don't know anything about?
Then we cross that bridge when we get there.
And I can't afford that.
So what are you going to do?
Hopefully he's still asleep. We find those chambers and we keep everyone in cryo. I'm assuming you guys never told Long that.
Yeah.
Right? So he says...
But this assuming... is a, this is the moment where you can see Hope's about to. Like, I think she... she's been looking out the window to see if, you know, there's bounty hunters and she sees ships and whatnot. And she's like, right. Like, I hope this. And I think she kind of like walks back in the conversation, and Dartha for sure would sense that she is about to sort of spill the beans. So if you want to stop her, you can be like, whoa, hold on. But otherwise, I mean, Dominique, Atlas totally can as well. I'm just thinking.
I feel like I wouldn't have the foresight to know what it is you were going to say. So I feel like I wouldn't even know to stop you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really of two minds because there's a... Nah. Fuck it. Say it.
And I'll say, well, the G is out of the bottle there. Before we left the kennel, we initiated the cryo defreeze, you know, the cryo thaw process.
So we have to go back.
Horatio is probably right now trying to figure out what's happened over the last, I don't know, 600 years?
No, he's trying to figure out how to get off that station. Now we have two problems.
So we have to go back.
But I shoot straight back into Dr. Long's mind.
Right.
And I'm like, what did he just witness? He witnessed these two individuals, right? Both mm-hmm. Atlas and Hope talking 100% truthfully.
Right.
Right. So like, yeah, he's got all the misgivings and there's all these other issues that could come up. I get it. But like, also look at how honest they're being. And I say it again. I say, if you can trust me, you can mm-hmm. trust these two. Sorry, Tim, I didn't put you in there.
Oh, no, and that's cool. Cause then I think he says, and he's looking at Dartha, cause I'm assuming the rest of you don't know Dartha's having this conversation with
no,
you.
I don't think so.
Right. So he looks at Dartha and he says, I trust Tim. 100%. And he says, trust is complicated.
And he's saying this through telepathy, or is he saying it out loud?
He says it out loud.
Yeah.
But that doesn't reveal anything to us.
No, it doesn't.
He reacts to knowing that he's like trusted.
I think Tim feels awkward, right? I think he knows he's in a conversation that's way over, he's gotten way more information about what this job is than he's gotten in the 3 or 4 years that he's been in this role.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just a biotech engineer.
Yeah, he thought he was just a biotech engineer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Long says, so, one, these nanites, I'd like to get them inert, right? I'd like to figure out how to make them not a danger.
Then there's a control module for them, right? We get that control module and those nanites are useless.
Right.
Meaning that you can't use them either.
Well, whoever controls that module can use them.
Right.
Well, then what are you going to do with all this power once you have it?
It's not my intent to rule. I'm not that guy. I also recognize that having this control nanite module is problematic because it's only a matter of time before the other systems realize this thing exists. And then I have to prove that it is of no danger, that it is inert. So I have a finite amount of time after we have it to be able to prove it's destroyed, it's inert, it doesn't work, right? Say it again.
So we get it and we destroy it.
Yes, but beyond just destroying it, we have to make sure it can't be remade. It can't be reverse engineered, all those things. So it's not enough just to take it and throw it in the black hole. We've got to make sure there's nothing else on the station that can remake it, that you can't remake it and can't be forced to remake it.
Why do you think that I would be able to remake it?
Because you came off that station, just like Prometheus did.
Do you think Prometheus would know how to remake it?
I think you both do.
And my brother that you took apart?
I think that information may be in whatever's left there. And he looks over at the table.
I can't
the one body table.
Dr. Long. The one body table. Yeah. And then his table with bodies in it.
Well, it's not really a body according to Dr. Long, right?
It's a body according to me.
It's machinery, right? It's parts and pieces.
Can I try to use another power thing?
Sure.
So one of the core techniques of telepathic contact is observing emotional states in a target. Mm-hmm. And intense emotion provides a single word or image related to the focus of the feeling. So mm-hmm. this whole time I've had my pseudopods gently placed on all of our various, you know, like close friends, whoever's there. Right. And I think I just want to get a sense of, you know, is like, what is Dr. Long's emotional read?
This dude is cool as a cucumber, right? This is Tuesday work, right?
Right.
Big on his mind is, I think there are images of a conversation he's having with Prometheus, right? And so there are different things that are being said that brings that image back up to his head, right? And connects back to this conversation that he's having with Prometheus. I think that means a lot of what he's making decisions on is based on what came out of that conversation or what that conversation was about.
Yeah, nice.
So he says, yeah, so the bottom line for me, short term is deactivate those nanites. I will continue to skirmish with Jan and Irdos until I find a better way to handle that situation. Right now, and if they're spending energy at each other on their facilities, they're not spending energy exploring the vault or trying to figure out how to eradicate each other, right? I'm keeping them busy until I find a better way. If you got better options, I'm all ears. And now you've added to my plate, I have to find Horatio Long and put him back in the sleep, or I have to kill him.
I feel like there's a whole discovery process that's possible for all of your solutions that you're skipping over. You know, as naive as I was coming here, I don't think you pitting Jan and Irdos against each other right now benefits their long-term ability to find some sort of peaceful solution. You wanna pull their fangs out so that they can't fight. You want them to remember that they each need each other, but if you're pitting them in to fight one another, you're making your short-term solution is making your long-term goal even harder. And similarly, killing Long, your great ancestor, or cryo-sleeping him again may mean you're missing out on a lot of important information that he could share, might be willing to share.
He's a psychopath.
Let me talk to him, and depending on how the conversation goes, I will kill him myself.
And I send one last message through to his head, which is just, it's just, I can control them. Let us go do it.
Wow. And I think he says, all right, we'll try it your way. But I think Dartha picks up that no fucking way. Right. If I can't put him in a sleep, I will kill him myself. Right. And but he's open to different ways to solve the Jan Irdos problem.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, does he want to, like, I think Hope is just like, you know, there's room on my ship for one more. I mean, the ship is huge. There's room for like 100 people.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, she says it's rough, right? Everyone who's gone can tell you that black hole grav blade surfing is rough riding. It is unpleasant. It is, we're theoretically any gravitational shift away from implosion and explosion, simultaneous implosion and explosion at the same time. But I've made it out of there 100% of the times I've made it in. If you want to come with us, you know, you don't have to be one step removed from the things you're afraid of. You could meet your great grandpapa yourself if you want.
And he says, matter of factly, of course I'm going. I've been to the black hole before. I've never been to the vault.
I am making the most just done face at Hope right now. Like, just touch your face.
Nice. It's interesting because in a way you're kind of related, you know, like he's the great grandchild and you're the creation, you know, you're both the children of Horatio Long in some sense.
The problem is that he is a jackhole and I don't like
I think he's juggling many conflicting responsibilities and has a hard time figuring out and is not stopping to think about the, you know, the ethics of his solutions. He's looking only at the efficacy of them.
Right.
But yeah. Cool. I think Hope is like looks to both of you, and if it sounds cool to you, I think we just like cut to Spike Drive
engagement. Does Breaker come with us? Also, I want Dr. Long to know to trust me, but I also want him to know that I will punch him again if I have to.
I think he knows that. I don't think he's worried about that. I think he believes you're not going to kill him, and so then he's not worried about it.
Okay, we'll find out.
I kind of love the fact that maybe we all left this room, and Dr. Long looks down, and he has an item on his to-do list, which is like possible conflict with subordinates. And he's like, "Yep, that happened. Check."
That happened.
Like he was prepared for stuff. You know?
I feel like I've been playing Atlas as a pacifist, but like he's running out of patience. So
is he
not gonna try and kill Dr. Long? We'll find out.
We will find
out. See what happens.
The vibe I've gotten from Atlas is very much that he doesn't want to be categorized as a killing machine, right? Like it doesn't seem to me like he's strictly a pacifist. He just wants to be judged as fairly as anyone else, which is to say, like, if he commits violence, it's because there was a justifiable reason, and he shouldn't be like immediately go, oh no, he can't exist because he's so dangerous.
Right.
Any more than anyone else with a laser pistol is dangerous, right? It seems to me like you just want to, you're erring on the side of caution so that you're not judged, you know, unfairly. Is that right?
That articulates a lot of what I've been trying to play as and not really been able to put into words, which is that I just want like to be given kind of a fair shake, like as a person.
Right.
And I think Dr. Long is, he's concerned about the path of humanity, or at least in this constellation, right? I think he has it's set in his mind that AI are not human. They may not even be conscious, right? And so he's not even worried about, it's like I got a lawnmower on that table that I'm taking apart and trying to fix, right? That's where he is, right?
Oh, he used the word it a lot when he was
talking.
I think that Atlas is like at a point where he's not going to try to justify his humanity.
Right.
And is like, if you don't see me as a person, that's a non-starter.
Right.
Which I also think lowers his like threshold to committing violence against Dr. Locke.
Right. It's a lot easier to instigate.
Absolutely.
I, Dominique, would punch a Nazi in a heartbeat because like if you're a good person, I'm not going to talk to you. Like we'll jump straight to the violence. I feel like it's like Nazi punching. Like you don't lead with your words.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I dig it. Do we, we're not quite at all right time yet, but would we like to do a slightly early break and then cut to like arriving on the kennel? Unless we have any like pre-takeoff plans?
I think you guys are about to take off. I think Raven's there. She's suited up. Timothy's there. Dr. Long is the last to arrive, but he's in the new uniform that Raven wears, the new battle dress. Uniform armor that a Raven wears, so they're in that dark purple kind of battle dress uniform that they do secret missions on.
Uh-huh.
He shows up and he's in his, and he's got, you know, his sidearm, and he's got equipment and that kind of stuff. And it's like, it's Wednesday, and this is what we do on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I have a question mechanically. How many hit points do I have?
Ooh.
It's like the session just ended last time, but it was, we're just like a couple minutes after this, right? After like that, this is not a lot of time passing.
Yeah, we're not a couple, we're,
I mean, a couple hours now. Like
a good part of the day in the medical facilities. Like,
right.
Right. Like, so basically we had this conversation, and then like now we're going to take off who knows how long, like a little bit of time has passed, right?
Yeah, there could be, yeah, there could be some downtime, and it could be some part of the, because it's late at night when we, or early morning when we wrap up this conversation. And I don't know that we're leaving immediately, right?
I'm wondering, is Dartha, would you still be in the blob wheelchair thing?
That's exactly what I want to find out. And I think it depends on how many hit points I have.
Yeah. I think it takes us like 3 days to get there. It's not instantaneous.
Right. Right.
But it will be on the ship, which doesn't have necessarily great medical facilities, right? So like I've got a couple of hours here, like an overnight in the med bay.
Right.
And then I'm getting on the ship.
Yeah.
How many hit points do I heal? That's what I want to know.
I'm like excited about the possibility of Dartha wheelchair combat, but I'm also like, Dartha could die. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
We can figure that out on the break.
All right.
Good.
Sounds good.
All right, friends. We will, assuming I can find the right thing to change our wait time so it's not 30 minutes of break. All right, friends, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you back on the other side.
We could be your deputies, but you got to tell us what you're doing as sheriff first. Yeah, this is good times. I liked that we had to really figure out what... Dr. Long's a complex character, has a complex agenda, and we really dug into that. And I still don't think we got all of it, but we got enough to make it feel like we could continue and kind of know where we're standing. You know, when he said his intent is to pull the teeth out of Jan and Irdos, at least for hope, that gave her some hope. And the idea of preventing these nanites from being used as weapons sounded great as well. But you know, he said, I'm not a dictator. Can we trust that? And then, oof, the whole issue of Horatio Long being for, taken out of cryogenic sleep and whatever he's up to. If this Dr. Long is scary, I can only imagine how terrifying Horatio is. I guess we're going to have to go back into the well and to Hades Kennel 3 to find out.